You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Just bow our heads and say, God, I'm really in trouble. And I ask you to give me strength to bear whatever I have on my shoulders.
The church views the things of this world with, you know, we're just not going to get too worried about it because we're going to be here long after all that has changed.
Where have we come to a point where we will murder unborn children and deny their personhood, but then acknowledge their personhood in having organs and sex, you know, being a boy or a girl?
That is the most powerful reconciliation available. The gospel, it's the greatest, it's the greatest, it's the greatest.
Missouri dairy farmers love Issues Etc.
Millions of people watched the interview where former Olympian Bruce Jenner finally said what had been gossiped about in the tabloids for years and finally came out and affirmed that he considers himself a woman. So here is this man, at one time kind of the picture of 1970s virility, saying, I've always been a woman and now I'm going to actually make the change. I'm going to change my gender. And almost before you knew it, as though by some sort of magical spell, he is. And he's everywhere, receiving awards, he's on television, he's got his own reality show, living not as Bruce any longer, but as Caitlyn Jenner. And he is, well, if you stand at a distance and squint your eyes a little bit, he's the picture of femininity, isn't he? But he's still a man dressed as a woman. Now, what is it the media has been telling us? This is what he ought to do. This is something we ought to affirm. This is something we ought to applaud. But there is such a thing as transgender regret, and it's real, despite what the media has told us. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, August the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about transgender regret. Walt Heyer will be our guest for the first half hour or so. A little bit later, Paul Miller joins us to talk about Lutheran education in the inner city, the challenges and the joys there. Dr. Joel Olowski will help us remember two, mother and son, remembered on the 27th and 28th of August, Monica and Augustine. We'll talk about them in some depth with Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And then we will go through listener email and respond to as much of it as we can here on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 26th. Joining us to talk about transgender regret, Walt Heyer. He's a public speaker and a mentor for individuals who have undergone gender change surgery. He's author of several books, including Gender, Lies, and Suicide. He's also written a recent column for The Federalist titled Transgender Regret is Real, Even If the Media Tell You Otherwise. Walt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me on today.
You've written extensively about kind of the media template for this issue, and you actually have personal experience with this media template. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was on CNN a little over a month ago, and the issue is that they refuse to acknowledge that the 41% of the people who are of transgender population that are attempting suicide are people who have regrets about doing it, because people who are happy with their transition, who are happy with what they're doing with their life, are not going to attempt suicide. So when Carol Costello interviewed me and said only 2% regret the surgery, she ignored the fact that 41% of the people are attempting suicide.
So tell us your own story here for some context in this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I was a child transgender and underwent the whole regimen of procedures later in life because back so many years ago, this was in the 40s, it was not what it is today. I was given the opportunity to transition, I guess, by my grandmother, who thought it was appropriate for her to dress me as a girl and make me appear as a girl. And that planted the seed that became gender dysphoria. Anytime you encourage a child toward changing a gender, you're doing damage to his core identity. So the confusion sets in and gender dysphoria becomes a lifelong issue. So I struggled with it until I was 42 years old and was married and had two children, had a great career, but could not get away from what happened during the childhood with my grandmother, where she did this cross-dressing of me for over 2 years. And I underwent the surgery at 42, lived as a female Laura Jensen for 8 years, until I studied psychology at UC Santa Cruz and realized that the makeup of transgender issues is really based on psychological issues. Some of them are obsessive-compulsive disorders and separation anxiety, dissociative disorders. There's a whole range of disorders that don't get diagnosed prior to performing surgery on these individuals, and these are the ones who later on end up regretting having done it, having undergone the transition, and wish that they were restored to their original gender.
So you're saying that gender dysphoria isn't a monolithic condition that is unattended by other mental or psychological problems, but often attended by them, that go completely unaddressed if we simply say, let's start hormone replacement therapy, or let's talk about surgery?
That's exactly right. These things do not start in the womb. They want you to think they do. And for fairness purpose, it starts so young in life. We think, you know, as the transgender child, that it did start in the womb because it starts with our first thoughts. The fact of the matter is, someone has encouraged or given, the child the opportunity to transition at an early age. They're encouraged to cross-dress. This is not psychologically healthy to do. And when we plant these seeds, what we're really saying is, when we begin to let a child transition, is that you're better off being a different gender than you are your birth gender, which is the start of the lie. And then if we introduce hormone blockers and other therapies to the child, the guy's, lost in all this whole madness of gender transition stuff that we see today.
So you talked about the template before. Give us some of the data that's often missing from the media's coverage of transgender issues.
Well, most often they don't talk about the fact that, as I said earlier, that the suicide. We know that 90% of people, this is the data that comes out of the suicide prevention group, 90% of people who attempt suicides have psychological or psychiatric issues. So using that data and then looking at the 41% of the people who are attempting suicide in the transgender population, we already know that by the suicide numbers that 90% of that 41% have untreated and undiagnosed psychological issues that are really being ignored by the whole transgender movement. So they're left with no opportunity to have good psychotherapy, good treatment, other than transitioning. So the only thing they're left with is suicide, which is something I attempted to do myself. I was fortunate and didn't die from it, but many of them do.
Do you mind, I'm trying to kind of search for a way to ask this. What was going through your head when you were suicidal post-gender reassignment surgery?
Well, you're aware that that you made a big mistake, that this wasn't the answer, that you can't change genders. The people who write me, hundreds of people who have written me, realize that after they did it, you can't change genders. You can make it look like you've changed genders from your appearance, but the fact of the matter is no one changes gender sex. The people will argue that you can, but the fact of the matter is you still have the bones of a man, you have the heart of a man, the brain of a man, and you are, in fact, a man. In fact, if the person were to be deceased after undergoing a transition, and they, the only thing they had was the skeletal remains, that they would identify that person. If they were a transgender female, they would identify them as a male because nothing really changes.
So you're really fighting reality. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. Yeah, that just nails it right there. You're fighting reality. And you know what it really comes down to is that it's for some reason, the transgenders have this desire for self-destruction of who they are so that they can become someone who they're not. And if we look at that in an intellectual way, we can see that the person is troubled, and we shouldn't be encouraging them to become someone they are not. We should be encouraging them to be who they really are. And that's why we have, I mean, there's no other population at all that's attempting suicide at a 41% rate. That should tell anyone that there's something wrong with suggesting or encouraging or helping people toward gender transition.
This has been brought to the fore, of course, in the media by the very public transition of athlete Bruce Jenner to, as he says, Caitlyn Jenner. What are your thoughts on that? First of all, on that situation, but then on how it has been very carefully orchestrated and rolled out in the media.
Well, I think that's a good term. It's been rolled out, and he's become the poster child. I say he still hasn't changed his name legally, and he still has Snoopy, so I'm going to say that he's he. So he may appear different, but the fact of the matter is, during his interview with Diane Sawyer, he talked about coming out of a clinic where he had some procedures done, and the paparazzi were there, and he went home that night. And in the interview, in his words, said that he paced the floor thinking about suicide. So we have someone who's, if you look at that, that's pretty unstable thinking. And if they're going to be tipped with something like that toward thinking about suicide, I would say I'm concerned for him. When all the lights go out from the TV cameras, the people following him, the shows are over, and he's in court, maybe facing manslaughter, which he could end up doing time for. He probably won't. But that's going to be a tremendous stress on him. And these are the times when people who are struggling psychologically end up doing things to themselves just to end it all.
When you look at that situation and you see the way that it has been received in pop culture, what are your thoughts there? Kind of the tremendous social pressure to change the pronouns from he to she, the name from Bruce to Caitlin. What do you make of those things, Walt?
Well, these are all the political correctness has just gone absolutely insane. And, you know, one of my best friends, I can only say from my own personal experience, a guy that I've known and still my friend, he was before with me as Walt and through me when I was Laura. And when I was Laura, he just called me Wacko. And instead of calling me male or female, he said, I'll just call you Wacko. I thought that was funny. And I kind of enjoyed that. I didn't demand that anybody do this pronoun thing. I personally think it's just a lot of nonsense. And I think it encourages people to think they have changed genders when they really haven't. And so I'm not sure all this is all that healthy. And again, I will say that it's really a good thing when I see the suicide attempt numbers begin to drop. But they've been that way since the late 1970s, when Dr. Ilenfeld, who had worked on 500 transgenders giving hormone therapy, spoke at a conference in New York, said that 80% of the people having gender change operations shouldn't do it. There's too much unhappiness and too many suicides. And that was in 1979, and nothing has changed all the way up to 2015.
How would you respond to somebody who says, look, this is obviously some kind of a problem, attend it with other mental problems, but the best thing we can do is let these people transition in whatever way so that they can find some peace of mind? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think the peace of mind comes when we have someone who can accurately diagnose of what is termed a comorbid disorder. In other words, the underlying psychological or psychiatric disorder that is the trigger mechanism or the onset to the gender dysphoria. And as I mentioned earlier, there's a whole series of psychological and psychiatric disorders, including schizophrenia, bipolar issues, dissociative disorders, multiple personalities. There is a whole host of these disorders that are left undiagnosed, and therefore, because they're not diagnosed, never get treated, that if properly diagnosed and treated would alleviate the desire to change genders.
Finally, if you were given just 2 minutes alone with Bruce Jenner, what would you say to him?
Well, I'd really want to dig into when this got started, and I'd want to know what happened. And I'd talk to him about the onset and then begin to deal with that onset, what the feelings were, what triggered it, and begin to allow him to see how that manipulated his thinking into this long-term untreated issues. You know, he's dealt with some very difficult issues in his life. When he came back after winning the Olympic decathlon, he got a brand new Porsche that was given to him, I believe, by a Porsche dealer or someone. And his younger brother wanted to drive that car, and he gave his younger brother the keys. And within a half an hour, his younger brother had collided with a pole and killed himself and his girlfriend. So we know that people, transgenders, often have a deep trauma in their life. They have issues that are unresolved. And so I'd want to know what started it and why it has not been dealt with properly. And today we just tell them to change genders and don't deal with the underlying issues.
Waldheyer is a public speaker and mentor for individuals who have undergone gender change surgery. He's authored several books, including Gender, Lies, and Suicide. He's also written a recent column for The Federalist titled Transgender Regret is Real, Even If the Media Tell You Otherwise. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Walt, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, the 26th of August, we're going to talk about Lutheran education in the inner city with Paul Miller, the former principal and current director of development for Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis. We'll talk about the challenges and the joys of urban school ministry. Stay with us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.